tarp over your garage that has a bad roof.
The Haynesboro ponders repairs to the Chilcat Center, and fair participants could find their exhibits on the statewide stage. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly on Tuesday approved the budget for fiscal year 2013 with slight changes to the mill rates. The Assembly settled on lowering the town site property tax rate to 10.79 mills, lower than the 2012 rate and the proposed manager's budget. The area-wide property tax rate was set at 7.63 mills, lower than the manager's proposed rate, but slightly higher than the 2012 rate. Assemblyman Jerry Lapp proposed the area-wide mill rate reduction from the manager's budget because of additional funds received from the state in the school funding formula. The budget encompasses about $11.3 million in spending. When the Assembly also realized the budget would leave a more than $2 million fund balance in the townsite general fund, Steve Vick proposed adding funds to the Haynes Public Library and Sheldon Museum budgets. The amendment passed with Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel voting against it. The additional $20,000 for the two organizations helps offset some of the cuts to materials and personnel they were facing. The Assembly on Tuesday also passed a revised fee schedule for harbor use. The Boat Harbor Advisory Committee drew up a new harbor fee schedule, and the Assembly made slight changes to those recommendations. Major changes include increases to the boat launch fees. An annual launch ramp sticker will increase to $60, and a daily use sticker will cost $15. Penalties for violations were also set. Also discussed was the condition of the Chilcat Center roof. The manager's report included a memo from Public Facilities Director Brian Lemke. He suggests putting a temporary metal roof on the building by winter. The borough received an estimate in January for a company to fix and install a new roof, including correcting several deficiencies that make the current roof susceptible to leaks and ice dams. About $50,000 would have to be spent on the design of the new roof. Lemke said Tuesday he thought spending the design money on a temporary roof would be a better use of the money, but he emphasized that such a roof could not be considered a long-term fix to the structural problems in the roof and entire building.
It has to be viewed as a temporary measure because we're not fixing any of the big issues of that building other than the leaky roof if we go this route. We've been warned, or we've been, the borough and everybody needs to know that there's major structural deficiencies in that roof system up there that we're not addressing. We have to acknowledge them. They're out there. The engineers, many engineers, have pointed out these problems and concerns. But I'm thinking that we almost liken this to putting a blue tarp over your garage that has a bad roof until we get, you know, the money or the plan, the longer range plan of how to deal with this.
Joanne Waterman said she thought the Assembly supported a permanent solution for the roof and the building, and asked how the temporary roof will aid in moving that goal along.
So then, what are we doing? We put a temporary short-term band-aid on this. I mean, I think the Assembly has, I think, made it clear that we want to go forward with helping this building out. And so what's the next step? Are you saying that they're lower in the structure, there's things that need to be addressed other than just the roof? Or
absolutely.
So what are you proposing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm proposing doing this as a stopgap to allow the government or whoever to go in and take a look at it, at the bigger picture there.
Lemke said a temporary fix would help the roof during the coming winter, but the entire building needs to be addressed. Mayor Stephanie Scott asked Lemke about his assessment of the situation.
I guess one thing you said that concerns me is the potential safety of the building and whether or not it's truly safe to use. This is a concern.
You're asking me. I'm very concerned about it, and I've been before this body and the different places and cited the condition report for 2008 many times. And again, I'm not saying it falls on deaf ears, but it hasn't been received really well.
The Assembly approved Lemke to go forward with getting a quote on the temporary roof replacement. The quote will be presented and voted on by the Assembly at the June 26 meeting. The Chilkat Center Advisory Board is also meeting this Friday and has on its agenda to discuss the concerns Lemke mentioned at the Assembly meeting. Thinking of submitting some rosehip jam or pickled beets in the Southeast Alaska State Fair this year? Or it could be your abstract oil painting or piece of poetry that gets a statewide audience if you get a blue ribbon in Haines this year. The Alaska State Fair has teamed up with the Southeast Alaska State Fair to have the winning exhibits from the Haines Fair compete at the State Fair in Palmer in August. Jessica Edwards with the Southeast Alaska State Fair explains.
The division winners and department winners will be eligible to be sent to Palmer for the Alaska State Fair, which happens in late August and early September, and they'll be judged and displayed there as well.
The exhibit organizer at the State Fair was interested in including more Alaskans from all regions of the state, said Edwards. And with the Southeast Alaska State Fair having no shortage of entries, she said it was a natural fit.
We actually, for a small fair, we collect 600 to 700 exhibits from the region. So we have a nice showing already, and she wanted to draw on that strength and be able to offer people another opportunity to have their work be judged and displayed.
The fair in Haines accepts exhibits from around Southeast, including Skagway, Craig, Prince of Wales Island, Sitka, Tenneke, Juneau, and even Whitehorse. Perishables and crops will not be able to participate in the state fair. But for all other entries, the winning items will be sent to Palmer and go up against the best in the state.
There is a different level of probably competition just because, 300,000 people attend the Palmer Fair. There's a lot of people in that area, and so there's a great number of exhibits. So it in that sense, yes, people have maybe a little bit more of a competitive judging situation. Different judges, slightly different categories, but it's also the opportunity to be able to participate in the Alaska State Fair.
Exhibit books are out around town, or check out the fair website at seekfair.org. This year's Southeast Alaska State Fair runs from July 26th through the 29th. Today we have an update on the Sea Alaska land selection legislation we first reported about in our last newscast. The legislation is poised to pass the U.S. House, but the bill most likely to get through Congress appears to be in the Senate. The House version, introduced by Alaska Congressman Don Young, is among 14 measures merged into a larger bill this week. What's called the Conservation and Economic Growth Act is scheduled for floor action next week. Sea Alaska Executive Vice President Rick Harris said the Southeast Regional Native Corporation appreciates the support.
It is a bipartisan bill, and the leadership of the House has said they want to move it, and so, of course, we're not going to stand in the way of that.
Young's version has undergone some changes, but Senator Lisa Murkowski's legislation has had more revisions. Harris said Murkowski's version is more likely to succeed in both chambers of Congress, as well as be acceptable to the president.
And at this point in time, it's going to take the support of all three to move that bill. So we believe that probably the Senate bill will still be the operative bill for engaging and addressing the Sea Alaska land issues.
Both versions would allow the corporation to select federal land outside boundaries set in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Corporate officials say that will keep its logging operations going, protect traditional sites, and allow for new businesses. Opponents say it's a giveaway of some of the region's most valuable lands that would hurt fisheries and subsistence. The Alaska Wilderness League is one of the bill's critics. Executive Director Cindy Shogan said the House version would do more damage than the Senate's.
Both the senators from Alaska have been meeting a fair amount with their constituents and talking about their concerns, and their bills on the Senate side have modified to reflect some of those conversations.
Her group also opposes the omnibus measure before the House. Young and his spokesman could not be reached for immediate comment. Murkowski spokesman Robert Dillon said the senator is still negotiating with the Forest Service, the Democratic Senate majority, and Sea Alaska. He says all the acreage on the northern Prince of Wales has been dropped from the measure. Other changes reduce selections on Kosciuszko and Kuyu Islands. Dillon says Murkowski is optimistic an agreement can be reached this summer, allowing the bill to pass out of committee. And this weekend in Haines is the Kewaunee Chilkat International Bike Relay on Saturday. The Haines Highway southbound will be closed at Haines Junction beginning at 8:15 a.m. Yukon time for about an hour. Northbound traffic will be stopped near Kathleen Lake from 8:15 a.m. Yukon time until about 10 a.m. For the rest of the day on Saturday, be sure to drive safely on the highway and watch for racers. The first team should begin arriving at the finish line in Haines in early afternoon. And in addition to it being Father's Day, Sunday marks the opening of the gillnet fishery season for the Upper Lynn Canal. Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced Thursday the opening in 15A and 15C will begin at 12:01 p.m. on Sunday and run through noon on Tuesday, June 19th. This is Margaret Friednauer for KHNS News. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for his report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.